Good afternoon, KCTA listeners. This is Gracie, the program director. I am interviewing Stacy from the Women's Shelter today. Hi, Stacy. How are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you doing, Grace?
Pretty good. I'm happy to have you here. First off, what is teen dating violence?
Well, teen dating violence is it is dating abuse that takes place when a person physically, sexually, verbally, or emotionally abuses another person. And this is in the context of a dating or a romantic relationship, and when one or both of them is a minor. So this is pretty much the same definition for dating violence for adults. It's the same thing for minors. But the main takeaway, obviously, of this specific abuse is that it is a repetitive pattern of behavior, and it stems from power and control. So that when we talk about teen dating violence, we talk about how it's repetitive. It's not an isolated incident. And this behavior can and does escalate. And it stems from power and control. It's not an anger issue. It's not a substance abuse issue, even though these things can enhance it. But it really stems from trying to overpower another person and to be controlling of everything that they do.
Oh, wow. And I know February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So it is a month of awareness to bring recognition to and show support for one of the highest at-risk age groups. And this is within the context of an intimate partner relationship. So it's raising awareness in the month of February about this specific violence that occurs in this very high risk age group. And we're finding out a lot, and a lot of science is telling us, because there's no one, there's no two relationships that are identical that are in the context of an abusive relationship. But we find these similarities of what we are identifying. And when we're talking about teens, we're talking about individuals that are absolutely still learning about themselves and learning about relationships. And so having, positive role models, influences, and reminding them that that teens can be abused without a doubt, and that it should be reported. Mm-hmm. But teens in an abusive relationship are more likely to become victims or abusers in college, as well as adults. So we're talking about why teens. This is really what sets up these future adults, mm-hmm. and why it's very important to get involved right now, especially in this age. Because what we're finding out is that girls and young women between the ages of 16 and 24 experience the highest rate of intimate partner violence. This is a rate that is almost 3 times the national average.
Oh, wow.
So it's very significant, absolutely. It's the month that we wear orange, and it's for teens specifically. October is reserved for purple, that's domestic violence awareness, mm-hmm. whereas April is for teal, sexual assault awareness month. But the teens, they get February, and it's an orange, recognition of orange. And so I'm asking folks to wear their orange today. And this is actually the National Week of Respect. And it's
cool.
Nationally recognized. So today is actually the kickoff for National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So I'm so happy to be here to be able to talk about
yes.
it. Wearing my orange. I got my orange shades. Thank
you,
Whataburger.
Oh, yeah. I love Whataburger. because you said, because when they're teens, a lot of times it could be their first relationships, and they think that's just normal.
Yes.
And it just gets progressively worse down the line.
Absolutely. And so folks that are possibly experiencing an abusive relationships, like, how do they get there?
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious it's from past relationships, that thinking that this is the way it's supposed to be.
They just don't know better.
They just don't know better, or no one's ever corrected the bad behavior, which is why it's so important for people to get involved and have these teachable moments. Parents, talk to your kids. Teachers, talk to the kids. If you see these things, this is what we're talking about and getting involved, so that we correct this, so that it doesn't become a long-term impact on people. We want to be able to set our adolescents up for success as adults. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, what are some of the red flags teens and adults can look for in unhealthy relationships? What are the signs of this?
Okay, so some of the signs of what we're looking at, and the way to understand how a person can be powered and controlled by another person, and it goes back to the very definition of dating violence, and it's when a person is physically, sexually, verbally, or emotionally abused. So kind of breaking down some of those concepts of what that looks like. So being physical, that is the obvious of where you're slapping, you're grabbing, you're punching. Not you, of course, but I mean, the person that is doing these things, that is being abusive and is obviously putting their hands on somebody else in a very unwanted touch, but also asserting that physical force or that physical privilege, if you will. But it's basically just, you know, what you think of when you think of being physical with somebody else. But emotional abuse is very long term as well. So while, yes, bruises do go away, but emotional impact on how this impacts an actual human being, it's very long term. So this looks like manipulating the other person, isolating them from friends and family, yelling and putting them down. Another form of emotional violence or emotional abuse is also the impact of other trends that we are finding is digital abuse, and sexting is becoming a new frontier for teen dating abuse. So, I mean, it's very, the point being to be in constant contact with the other person, having access to their phone. Every, you know, our phone is a miniature computer in our pocket. So, you know, which is our life in our pocket, unfortunately.
And then people don't go and get on the Facebook.
Absolutely. And having access to your personal stuff. And it's all about boundaries, healthy boundaries. You know, you want to steer clear of people that are really quick to get in a relationship with you, you know, rather than getting to know the person and seeing if that's what works out, if y'all are a good match. Someone that's going to respect your time and you respect theirs. And it's all about respect and equality and compromise and communication. Whenever these things are, you know, they're going through your locker, they're going through your backpack. Looking through your cell phones, showing up unannounced, knowing that that's where you go. You know, teens, if I was in band and we were amazing. And because I love band. And but I mean, if I had someone show up to my band practice, I would be humiliated. It would be completely scary. And these things absolutely happen. So,
what do you do about it? I mean, if let's say you have a friend or something and your friend has this boyfriend that's essentially stalking her. I mean, what do you do? Like, how do you get out of this kind of situation?
Well, so you absolutely want to talk to your friend that may be going through this. And if they're coming to you, you definitely want to be that non-judgmental person that listens, that tries to provide options. People that are in this situation feel like they're alone. And when you think of adolescents, when you think of teens, you think of people that that are afraid to talk to adults, afraid to talk to parents. You know, they're in that stage, that age where they're like, I'm learning everything, but I don't want to get in trouble for it. You know, but I'm also a teenager and nobody understands me, because I totally understand that. But I mean, these are individuals that they need help. And so reporting is not necessarily an easy thing for them too. So we want to be able to create that environment, schools, parents, you know, open those communication pathways to make sure that, you know, there's no reason why no one can come to you and talk to you. I know that that is sometimes scary, because they're talking to you about relationships and we think that there are kids, or that they are kids, but they are getting having relationships and dating, and that's what happens in high school.
So okay, for example, I know someone that has a girlfriend that is very controlling, will show up like you mentioned, calls his friends, sees where he's at. This person's tried to end the relationship, but the girl, you know, would retaliate. She keyed his car, you know. I mean, just big stuff going on where he's afraid to get out of this relationship. He's afraid the restraining order won't do anything. So what would you recommend for someone like that?
So there's a restraining order involved?
I don't know if there is or not yet. he's just kind of at the point where he doesn't think it'll do anything.
So, I mean, first step, obviously, is you want to have communication between yourself and the person that is being abusive to you, mm-hmm. And laying it out that this is, you know, not okay. Obviously, you want to not go further without at least trying to discuss the situation, because overall, these situations can be, you know, it can escalate into something violent. Mm-hmm. And if they've already provided examples of how they can be violent, then you could be at risk of an escalated situation. So safety planning is very important. Mm-hmm. If you call the women's shelter, we will help you with safety planning. If you go to your counselor, your guidance counselor would be able to help you on how to safely handle a situation like this. Mm-hmm. That's what parents are for too.
Yes.
Go to your parents. Your parents are there to be able to be supportive, help you, guide you through this age of your life. And obviously doing everything that you can, because if parents get involved, then it becomes my mom's going to call your mom. And then it's like, oh, we could fix this. Mm-hmm. I can't believe my child is keying your child's car. That is horrible. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'll get involved. And then hopefully there's a resolution. Mm-hmm. If there's not, you bring in the authorities.
Yeah.
You want to correct this. You don't want people, you want people to be accountable for their behavior.
Yeah.
And absolutely it is scary. But one of the most violent situations that could occur is whenever a person is trying to leave the other person abusing them.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to de-escalate that as much as possible, and plan to be safe, and mm-hmm. letting the other person know and being the advocate for the other person, letting them know there are services, there are people that can help you. You're not alone in this. There's so many people that go through this. And so just knowing that makes the other person feel a lot more, it's a lot easier to go through something knowing you're not alone doing it.
For sure.
Yeah.
It is scary. So what are the services that the women's shelter offers for teens, or even in general what the women's shelter is all about?
So we're all about just taking, providing a safe place for people to go, bottom line. If there is a situation that's going on, they can come to us and we'll provide that safe avenue. We'll talk about, we'll assess their current situation to see what are their needs,
mm-hmm.
and then together establish a plan on what that looks like to reach the goals that we've established. So, for example, if it's a family that is needing a place to live, in the meantime, they can live at the women's shelter while looking for a place to live. Or
so you do let men
job.
Men
we
live
do
there?
Let men, yes.
Okay, cool.
And that was new January as of 2015.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know it didn't used to be that way. And you also let kids come.
We do.
As well.
Yes.
You provide like a safe haven, especially for women with children that are, you know, trying to get away from an abusive situation as well.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. It does get a little tricky as far as unaccompanied minors, because it becomes a CPS situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if it's, and those are situations that are looked at case by case, but more than likely it's a CPS thing under by law. But we do provide a safe place, services for individuals. We provide counseling. And this is not just in Corpus. This is in our 12 county region. And so our education department actually goes into some of these schools and provides structured curriculum for preventative measures. And we talk to kids about how to have healthy relationships and to be better advocates for each other and to be supportive and just have a healthy experience.
Oh, that's great. Sounds like y'all are an amazing organization for
sure.
I know we do the Easter baskets. We're going to be doing those coming up next month.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about that. Our listeners love doing that. So. Well, Stacy, we're running out of time, but if you'd like, I don't know if y'all need volunteers or donations, whatever way our listeners can help. Can you give our listeners your contact information?
Absolutely. Anybody that wants to help out in any way, we have amazing volunteer coordinators that do this. If you call our office at 881-881-8888, and they will patch you through to the person that can help you.
Okay.
And if you want to donate clothes, they'll tell you where to drop it off. If you want to be able to help in any other way, they'll explain to you how you can do that.
Okay, great. Okay. What was the phone number one more time?
361-881-8888.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming today, Stacy.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.